Associates. Hey, Associates, we are here to talk about Suits, Season 7, Episode 5. Brooklyn Housing, stick with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
There it is.
Never can get old with the theme song.
You just do a little shuffle. A little bit of... I just want to do this all day.
This should be the show. This is our show.
Hello and welcome to AfterBuzz TV's coverage of Suits. This is the Suits After Show. I'm your host, Steve Coffin. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Coffin. That is KAUFMANN. We are not full strength tonight.
We are not, but I feel like we have a lot of the main name partners. The core of it.
Speaking as managing partner, I could not ask for a better two-man
totally.
Then.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll promote you to name partner right now.
Nice.
Mr.
Yeah,
JB's everyone. Where can the people find you on Twitter?
You guys can find me everywhere at Hey John Blake.
Great. That was 30 seconds shorter than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Let's get into this episode. How are we feeling? It's week five?
It is week five. Although it's week four for us because we did a double episode first. But, you know, things have progress. I mean, like, I feel like this was halfway, I guess, for the season. And so, yeah, I don't know. I feel like in some ways things are heating up, but this episode itself seemed like more of like a let's just ramp things up. Because I feel like from the beginning where we started to where we ended, we're kind of in the same exact place, honestly. But things are just more intense and like...
It was a dial-up episode.
Yeah, exactly.
I called it a bottle episode in the hallway, and I have to take that back. Like, it's not a bottle episode. Like, everyone was as uncontained as they've been. It's a dial-up episode.
Yeah.
Like, we're dialing up to the next 5 weeks where everything's going to, like, crash and burn and happen.
Right, exactly. A lot of, like, the conflicts solidified, and, like, I was able to see things that I had suspected really come into, like, much more of a focus, much more of a specificity. Almost, you know, like, I mean, all of the conflicts kind of just solidified and were taking shape, and you're like, it's much more obvious, like, where things are going to start coming apart at the seams.
But those are necessary.
Oh,
speaking of specificity, am I crazy for expecting Mike and Rachel to give us a date this week?
No, we talked about that.
Like,
I was a little upset that our premonition was, like, completely
Because
window.
They specifically did say.
They did say.
Like, we're gonna drink wine all night. We're gonna drink wine all night.
An all-nighter date.
We're gonna do an all-nighter. We're gonna talk about ourselves, our feelings, our this, our that, our everything, and we're gonna pick a date for our wedding. When is the date for the wedding? It's Valentine's Day 2018.
It's gotta be.
Suits, this could have not been your plan. It's your plan now.
Yeah, just listen.
Centrifugal motion. I'm making this. I'm willing this into the universe.
Yes, excellent. I mean, crazier things have happened for sure.
That's definitely.
But I was a little bit surprised as well. Mike and Rachel's kind of interaction definitely kind of bookended this episode in a lot of ways, and I think that's going to be honestly the only thing in my mind that like will make Mike stop. Not necessarily the craziness, because I'm all for, like, helping the world and, like, being a good human being. But at the same time, like, he's sacrificing so much of himself. Like, again, I'm getting that he wants to be, like, a do-gooder and give it his all. But, like, at the same time, he's really throwing his own – not only reputation, because that's, like, much more obvious. But I think his – a lot of his own, like – ambitions and like what he can do like as a person, like not only will like he break a trust with Harvey, but it's like if you do this, like he's going to be a bad lawyer in a way because he just isn't good. He goes back on contracts, like that's a bad like employee.
That's a bad employee. That's a bad businessman. That's a bad professional.
Yes, that's a very good word for
because
saying
aside from the Harvard thing, aside from the whole Harvard thing that he went to,
definitely a bigger issue.
That
of
whole
course.
Not. Being a lawyer thing.
Right.
He's past that. That's in the rear view. And many would argue that he was still a good lawyer.
Oh, totally.
And a good professional. But, like, this is a moment where he's genuinely going back on his word. And I think we all root for him because he's a well-written character that we really, really root for. And they've made the stakes so high that we're all in. But Rachel Rachel kind of had to lay down some law here.
Yeah, I'm so glad that she did. She really, like, drops a bomb on Mike sort of at the end there, and it's like, your word's going to be nothing. Like, that kind of means a bit more. I mean, obviously, it's a very different from the situation you're talking about, like him becoming a felon and, you know, defrauding this whole society.
He's already done that.
Right. No, exactly.
He is a previous felon. Right. Like, that
that's what I mean. Like, he's water on the bridge. He's been there, done that. Now, like, this is more like a conscious choice where he's come so far back from literally being, like, having nothing. He went from everything to nothing, and then, like, he's calling his way back. And for him to be building a legitimate life for himself for the first time, this is not the way to do that. You know, I get where he's coming from is a very noble space, but at the same time, you can't have it both ways. Like, you can't always be cutting corners. There is a system involved, and, like, a lot of time, like, it's interesting because as a lawyer, like, he kind of – his job is to sort of find, like, the loopholes within the system, and he himself, like, you know, I would almost, like, want him to face himself in court because he'd be, like, honestly the only person that could be, like, dude,
well, yeah,
this is so easy to, like, screw you.
Because we're still talking Mike and Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Rachel would be this upset with him if he had told her flat out? Like, if he hadn't lied about a Brooklyn Housing Authority case or
right,
this or that.
Right.
He like, had he just been like, yeah, I signed a document with Harvey. The greater good is these prisoners.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do everything I can for these prisoners.
Yeah, I don't think she'd be as upset, but also I don't think she would have let it go as far. I mean, maybe not at all. I mean, if she had they talked about it like the night of, you know, maybe it was early enough where he could have more easily with his own mind been like, Oliver, you know what, like, I really just can't talk to you, and like been more firm with that. So I don't know. I feel like Rachel is sort of the voice of reason, especially right now. It should be Harvey, and we've seen that in the past, but their relationship is in a different spot. Like, there was a sort of agreement when they came in that, like, Mike was going to sort of be his own entity almost in this firm. And so he's, like, I think beholding to that a lot more than he should.
Yeah.
And
I've been reading some of the comments, and the comments are based in some rumor.
Of course.
That are completely contrary to everything we were talking about last week, which is that they're trying to write Rachel off the show.
Interesting.
And that this is the seed.
Yes.
This or something
the life
like
of a princess.
Like this or something this or something like this is the actual seed to make her leave Mike, presumably go to her father's firm, which might as well be Mars for as far as the show. Or Chicago where Jessica went. Like it might as well be Mars, like it's off stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that being a possibility? That feels very true to me.
Yeah, it's very interesting fan theory. I mean, I think it's interesting when like a life events kind of affect shows, and they have the writers kind of get like a new creative thing that like they weren't expecting, which can turn out well. That being said, I don't want Mike and Rachel to go astray.
Yeah.
I think there are a couple outs that the show naturally presents. You know, there was that seed that Rachel was talking about working with her dad.
Yeah.
You know, like, that could be a thing. Like, if he was like, you know what, I'm expanding into Europe, and you're the only person to run.
Ooh, even
it.
Better. Like an actual stage, yeah. Right. Like, I was thinking she'd just go to another office.
Right. Or, like, you know, San Francisco. I think they're set in New York, so yeah, it's, but like, somewhere far.
I was just thinking she breaks up with Mike, and then... But you're right, it's a big firm.
Yeah.
You could literally just move her along.
I don't know. I would be curious to see if something like that happened. I mean, in general, this season, I feel like we've had the most new characters. Obviously, at Pearson Spector Lit, there's been a shakeup, as we know. There's new management, so we kind of expect that. But I don't think we will need to be tied to these characters as much as we have in the past.
Well, yeah.
So even if you know, like, the actress that plays Rachel, Megan has, like, some type of conflict that we don't know that like makes her, you know, not available for filming in the States or in North America.
Also, Jay Ruiz in the chat says the rumors are that she's going to be taking time off, but still be a part of the show.
Right. Well, yeah, that's what I mean. So she could have like more of a
that the character can leave, and Debbie Kovac in the chat says she should go to Chicago and work with Jessica.
That'd be great. I would love that. Awesome.
Sir, given that she's not completely leaving, if she doesn't completely leave the show, I would. That's actually the perfect out.
Yeah.
Because then she'd come back a better lawyer. She'd come back a better lawyer, an experienced lawyer, and maybe Mike believes her in such a way that she, like, needs a break.
Yeah.
Ross and Rachel taking a break.
Sorry. We were on a break.
Sorry. Sorry, everyone. Moving on with Mike to the case. And the greater good, and I appreciate that he's doing this for the greater good, but I also do not think Oliver isn't as equipped, and Mike is right that he needs to be there, or Mike doesn't trust Oliver, or Oliver doesn't trust himself enough to actually do the case.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Mike is letting a lot of things get in the way of what could be a straightforward case that he drops by maybe once a week on.
Right. And even that is, like, unethical.
Yeah, even him dropping by once a week is unethical, but it's, like...
Yeah, he's doing all the heavy lifting. He's literally a part of...
Making all the meetings.
Right. Yeah, making all the meetings and doing some on his own. Like,
met
literally
with two different prisoners in two different prisons.
Yeah.
Like, they keep a log, Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you writing that off?
I was totally thinking that. Like, the security camera footage, like, whenever this does go to trial, like, they can use this stuff and, like, say, also, like, hey, you were literally interviewing with every witness that's on the case. Like, hello. Also, kind of a retro.
Also, I just want to point out, if somebody gets a PlayStation in a prison, tech has serial numbers. You could have tracked the PlayStation and probably found a guard buying a PlayStation, and then you could have flipped the guard. Maybe I just...
Well, yeah, I mean, also,
obviously, you need,
like,
to bring Gallo in, and it's like...
Yeah,
Gallo, like, that's the most, like, intense of it. Like, yeah. That's the most drama-filled scene, but maybe we could have had one scene where they track down a guard who doesn't work there anymore. It's like, you know what? I already flipped.
Yeah.
I already flipped, and I'm crazy now. As a witness, no one's going to take me serious. Like, aw, man.
Yeah.
Let's go to Gallo or somebody.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they definitely had those prison guards in a few episodes ago. So they definitely could have brought them back.
And the private prison guards are super tight. Yeah. I know that's not a tree you really want to go up.
Right.
Nobody says nothing there.
Yeah, no, they're a very tight-knit crew, which makes sense. I mean, it's like a very... they've got to be like a frat and like a unit,
mm-hmm.
like a sports team.
A team.
Yeah.
Like,
totally. But yeah. No, on the Oliver note, because I'm not the biggest Oliver fan... Or at all.
I actually think Oliver is a great lawyer who just second guesses himself. And maybe I'm bringing my own stuff to it.
Right, right.
But I genuinely think if pushed out the door, if you will, if pushed to sink or swim, he'd swim. But Mike keeps intervening. Because Mike doesn't know what it's like to not just be a good lawyer out of the gate.
Yeah.
Or, to a certain extent, Mike also doesn't know what it's like to not have a Harvey.
True.
But Harvey would make Mike sink or swim. Like, I think Mike resents Harvey for how Harvey would treat him.
Mm.
So he's treating Oliver differently. Whereas there's a merit to how Harvey treated Mike, which was, if you fail, you fail.
Yeah.
If you fail, you fail, and my mistake was letting you...
Try, yeah.
Yeah, like, or my mistake was judging you incorrectly for whether you should or shouldn't have tried.
Right.
I think Mike should do that a little more with Oliver. Or judge Oliver accordingly, that if you genuinely don't think Oliver can handle a class action, which is not out of the realm of possibility.
Right. He can go somewhere else. Like, there's a ton of other
lawyers.
There
are so many other lawyers in New York that know Mike.
Yeah.
That he could do a quiet... He could do a quiet referral, which, by the way, a quiet referral would break the agreement he made.
Right. And also, I bet the people are going to comment that, you know, it was a pro bono case, which is not obviously, like, easy to pass off. That being said, as soon as they kind of uncovered what was really going on.
Oh, no, it's a class action. Like, that's hundreds of millions of dollars.
Like, that's huge.
That's, like, like prisoner deaths, estates, families, like that's
right.
Easily, you, to a certain extent, you're defrauding taxpayers because the taxpayers are paying for the private prison. Like you, that's that class action is a deal maker, not a deal breaker.
Yeah,
so, somebody would have taken it. Mike in his mind thinks he's the only one who could.
Right. And because it's Oliver's case, I think that given that scenario, if it did get like too big or like it was too intense, like Oliver can also like reach out other places. Like he's a capable dude, or should be. I mean, passed the bar, obviously. So I think Mike being so smart, he's got like a photographic memory. Like he is used to being the one that does everything, especially working with Harvey. I think he has trouble like not taking the reins of the details. Like Harvey, for instance, in this episode he's just like a bulldozer.
Almost. Yeah.
Like he's like, I will intimidate you to either giving up or like giving the answers, or just like he just basically figures out how to get the job done without actually like doing it himself, which is a very smart way to manage.
Well, obviously. That's the Harvey way to do it. And like that's similar to how Mike is treating Oliver versus how Harvey treated Mike.
Right.
Other than like situations where Harvey would take the lead in a situation where he needs Mike directly, and he'd be like, follow my lead and do exactly as I say.
Yeah.
Or he'd plop it on his, or he'd plop something on his desk and say, do this.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think the difference is like when Mike goes to Oliver, he's like, okay, do this. And Oliver's like, I can't do it. And Mike's like, okay, I'll just do it myself then.
Yeah, I'll just do it myself, and, or I'll walk you through where
Harvey, and like if Mike said he can't do it, which is the case this episode, Harvey's like, okay, great, I'll find someone else who can do it. You know, instead of just doing it himself.
Someone in the chat, I missed there. Or Love the Snark in the chat said something to that effect, which Mike needs to tell Oliver, we're either doing this or I'm out.
Right.
Like, I can't be, you literally, he is on
such thin ice.
He went to Danbury twice and another prison once. So he's on one prison log twice and then another once.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention he's all over, like he visited someone at their house.
Yeah. He's constantly at the clinic, like all day.
Nathan knew. Like Nathan didn't have to figure it out. Like
right. Yeah.
Rachel figured it out. Like if those people can figure it out, it's literally only gonna be one more episode, and spoilers, we saw it in the preview. It's literally only gonna be one more episode till Harvey finds out.
Right.
Harvey, who wants to keep Alex.
And Harvey's really taking, I mean, I think a bigger chance that Mike also doesn't realize. Like, Mike's like, dude, we're totally, we were good.
Yeah, man, like whatever, where it's like, dude, we need Alex to keep this firm.
Well, yeah,
just
because exactly.
Alex is my boy does not mean this conflict isn't huge for him.
Right.
And like this whole firm is teetering on disaster every week.
Totally. And it's all on Harvey. And that's the thing I think Mike doesn't realize is, like, before it was okay because no matter what would happen, basically Jessica would take the heat. And so, like, Harvey could be a little, like, you know, more fast and loose, especially with Mike. And so they've always had this relationship. Now, when everything will come crashing down on Harvey, I think he's going to be a lot less, you know, flexible with Mike.
Nor should he be.
Yeah, exactly. He can't. That's the thing. Like, he's literally always had on the line.
Well, because he always had a Jessica.
Right,
exactly. He doesn't have a Jessica now. He runs the firm.
Yeah, so it comes down, like, directly on him, and the one thing Harvey cares about most is obviously his own reputation, like, how he's viewed. Like, that's how he gets things done, is the reputation he has. Like, he is all talk in a lot of ways. I mean, he's obviously a boss. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like, discounting anything.
No, but he definitely can't. Yeah. He can't let Mike run amok like this. Before we move on from the Reyes case, I just, like, this is, I do like what this show did with the Reyes case, and as far as we can tell, this is the only really long-term case this season. Like, all the Harvey cases stop and start, like, maybe two season arcs, but this case seems like it's going to have enough legs because it's a class action to run all 10 episodes. And I really enjoy that the conundrum is, for Mike, has been based in the idea of, do you honor your word and your livelihood and your personal life, and, like, everything will get tied up into that. Which is just you. You're one person. If you value that, however you'll value you, against the lives of what seems to be, might possibly be, because they, what is it, 8 prisons?
Mm-hmm.
10 years? Thousands? Thousands of prisoners.
Yeah.
At least one death, likely hundreds of deaths against you, one. Like, it's an altruistic, at its core, it's a very altruistic conundrum.
Right. And it's like, dude, I don't even know if they have the resources to, like, see it through. If it
I don't
is,
think the clinic does.
Exactly. If it is that big, and if it is involving that many different prisons, like, they will definitely have the resources to, like, draw it out where literally Oliver and half of Mike's time under the rug, like, cannot do it. Like,
yeah. And I like Nathan in this. I like Nathan here, too, where he was like, because I think Nathan and Harvey are the two that aren't letting their hearts get in the way mm-hmm. here, in the sense that they know these cases. They know that no case is worth you.
Right.
Like, in that equation I'm giving you, like, let's say thousands of victims, hundreds of, like, dead victims versus you yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You yourself on that side is not worth any amount, like, or is not worth thousands or, like, hundreds of that, like,
right.
You would assume there is a value of millions or whatever, but I think Nathan and Harvey weigh more on the side of, no, I'm more important than this many people. I'm in a situation where I can't do this case.
Right.
I cannot help this case. I should not be taking Oliver's
exactly.
calls.
He shouldn't be. I mean, for such a variety of reasons. Like, there's a laundry list. And I think it's really starting to show that he can't do everything. Like, he can't have this full-time job where he's doing much more work at the firm and be, like, double-timing with Oliver. And also, like, working on his marriage, like, or his wedding. He should be planning
his engagement.
This, like,
his, a wedding and engagement.
Yeah.
Like, this is...
It's kind of Mike's a busy
got some,
time.
Mike's got some stuff
on
going
plate.
On.
Yeah, a lot on his plate.
And I know a lot are going to – we're transitioning to Harvey. We'll talk about Mike and Harvey a little. Harvey did – the reason Mike is in this position is that Harvey did go back on a promise.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't be lost. However, it's like a double-double cross at this point. Like, it's like a spy show where it's like, well, Harvey went back on a promise. So Mike had to make a promise. Now Mike mm-hmm. is going back on that promise, and it all gets really muddy. The thing is, Harvey runs the place, and Mike doesn't.
Yeah.
So this is not going to end well for Mike. But yeah. Moving on from him, Harvey has a client. Client got some tech stolen. Harvey hires Cromwell.
Yeah, I kind of like Cromwell.
I love Cromwell.
She's like my new favorite character.
She's been my favorite character since they introduced
nice,
her. Like,
yeah.
I really, really enjoy her in all she does. Like, the, I don't know, corporate espionage in this world that we live in is
right.
a very useful tool. And she's a fairly upfront, honest, and loyal and ethical
right.
person for what she does. And we learned that today with her and Donna.
Right. And I love – that was such a good scene. The second confrontation that they – or I guess it was the first between Donna and her. It was them meeting, which is such an epic mm-hmm. – it was like probably my favorite part of the episode because obviously Donna had a very intense – had made up her mind about Cromwell in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of comes out guns blazing. And Cromwell, like, very calmly but confidently, like – kind of mops the floor with Donna in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, she was just like, I mean, to the tune of getting like a completely better deal.
Do we think Cromwell meeting with the COO and things just not being what she,
and, but,
why do we think she turned down employment, which is what she asked for at the top of the episode?
I mean, leverage. If she was that crafty to get all that information, like, within a day of Harvey asking, and, you know, obviously it's not the – Cromwell wasn't the first mm-hmm. thing that Harvey tried, so he did do a little bit of due diligence to get those answers and couldn't. You know, she's very good. She can really, like, see the whole bigger picture, and for her to put together everything that they need so fast – means that she's got to, you know, be playing all of her options. And I don't think it was her first to come to Harvey, to, like, basically beg for him for a job in,
she
like,
didn't
his
beg.
Lobby.
No, but she didn't beg. I think she
right.
wanted – I think she thought she could report directly to Harvey.
Right.
And by meeting Donna, she realized there would be an internal struggle at Pearson Spector
right.
that she didn't want to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
She thought she could walk in. Although, would she have a better deal? I don't know. Let me know in the comments. I really wish they had just hired Cromwell's in-house as an in-house advisor instead of just pro bono. Or not pro bono, instead of just as a contractor.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting to see. I mean, I hope that there's a lot more Cromwell, because, like, I really enjoyed that scene. And, like, she's obviously very good at getting results. It's almost, like, too easy. She might be, like, too good for, like, the enjoyment of the show.
Well, but that's why you need to bring her into the fold. Right, that she'll eventually either we're going to see
her match or something.
We're either going to see her web of people and how she gets there. Or we're going to see some of it fall apart and she's going to need to fall back on people like Donna or Rachel to actually help her.
Oh, exactly.
I want all of this.
Yeah.
Give us more Cromwell, guys.
No, totally. I mean, it would be so fascinating to watch. That being said, I mean, she was so good in the scene with Donna, I almost am worried if she was, like, basically a main, like, character in The Office, that she'd be so qualified that, like, she would almost make that, like, Not some of the characters not as important or not as good at their job. Granted, they're not, I'm not saying that to discredit like Donna or Rachel or anybody, but they're just in these new roles, but they're kind of like, part of this season is about them like figuring it out. Like they're not really like, not necessarily not qualified, but just like not prepared because they haven't done this work forever. They just started. Like this is like a month in maybe.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see that they kind of like backpedaled a little bit, and I'm not surprised because it, I think, would kind of overshadow what they're doing if she's so good at what she does that they can just like, it's like an easy out.
They'll eventually have to hire her.
Unless
by helping Pearson Spector lit fairly publicly, at least in her circles, she was able to then show that she's trusted by them to then turn around and do the same for every firm.
Right.
And every firm in town. Maybe that was her play all along. I don't think so. I think something Donna said, I think the sheer presumption of Donna made her realize she didn't want to work there.
Yeah. And I think she realized that she could do what she just did with Harvey elsewhere too. And really, I mean, like as a freelance business, like that would really crush it. I mean, obviously she got a huge check from Harvey. So like if she's doing that, there's a day of work, literally a day of work that she did. And, like, I bet there's many zeros at the end of the, like, on that check, so.
I would bet $50,000.
Real? I would bet more than that.
No, I think that,
I bet she was going to be signed for, like, six figures plus.
But, like I said, one day of work for someone who's worth, like, $30,000 for a day, like, that's a six-figure salary extrapolated, I think. Or I think she would be worth anywhere between $30,000 and $50,000.
Totally.
Granted it was one day work. And granted
it was a lot of information though.
It was a lot of information, a lot of important information.
Right.
But if I had to hazard a guess.
Totally. I mean fans in the comments definitely.
Let's get this sliding bar together, guys. No, what do we think? Because $100,000 would be too much.
Right. But no, I mean
it was one day, granted it was like against the deal.
I'm trying to think back, and again, fans, if you guys have access to like all the episodes, I would love to go back and see what number she's thrown around, because I feel like in the past when we've dealt with Cromwell, like, she's thrown some like highball numbers.
Has she ever thrown numbers?
It was
an implied a lot, but we know a million for like even a week's worth would a week's work would be a lot for someone we've not like for not just like a legitimate person.
Right.
So like, I don't know. I'm sticking with 50,000 for the day. I think
it's at least triple digits.
Possibly 100. I think that could be anywhere from $30,000 to $100,000. Because you have to think on it. Yes, she. Well, no, because he would only be billing the client for the hours.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I really want to go back and see what.
Although if she charged Charlie $100, he's charging that client $300, because business.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, you don't rise to the top by not doing that. So
there's actually an old joke that says a lawyer makes it to the pearly gates of heaven, and he's 35. And St. Joseph gets there and he's like, congratulations, you've made it to heaven. You've lived 87 years. And he's like, wait, what? And he's like, oh, we calculated your billable hours.
Yep, dude. Old, I mean, they some old like dad never, jokes. I mean, there's a reason why they kind of show their lifestyle like this. It's cool. Like, Harvey has a lot of awesome cars and like a great apartment, but you know, he works all the time. Like, yeah. They like constantly. Yeah. Like, they live and eat work.
Very much. Let's move on to Harvey and Paula.
Yes. Harvey and Lewis. Paula
and Lewis. Jacob. And the mirror of Jacob and Lewis and the breakthrough with Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis this episode. Didn't expect him to be like one of the most even keeled people. Also turned it up like so in such a professional way. Like, he went 0 to 60, but like all completely under his control, which was, I think, really cool to see that like he could turn it on and off. Mm-hmm. Like with his like being in the driver's seat. And I think that's a representation of all the work he's been doing with Dr. Lipschitz. Again, thank you, doctor. You've done wonders for Lewis, because he, you know, there's a couple times where he overreacted a little bit, where he was like in lawyer mode. Like, mm-hmm. And I feel like to be a good litigator, you kind of always have to be like that to press people and get the information you want. But, you know, like, he definitely did that with his own clients. It's a little insensitive. That being said, in the second meeting of with the other opposing counsel, mm-hmm. or whatever, he just completely destroyed their case. It was amazing to see.
Well, because he channeled his undealt with feelings,
right,
directly towards Jacob, who was going through the exact same thing. What was funny is he didn't help him either.
Yeah.
He was like, no, you're a scumbag for doing all these things, and you're the worst, and I hate you, and Tara's never coming back. Deal with it. And, like, he never once was like, man, you really need to deal with your stuff.
Yeah,
no. He's just like, no, you're scum.
My favorite
part. Because you're on the other side of the table from me.
Was, like, they come in, and, like, Lewis, like, starts off with, like, a little insult. He's like, yeah, like, well, your lawyer shouldn't have said that shit any deal for you because you're a liar. And he's like, or she's like, you shouldn't talk to my client that way. And he's like, well, he just takes it up to a 10.
Yeah, like,
he's a piece of shit.
I mean, it was productive self-hatred to a certain
extent. Yeah.
Well, because it was productive, projected self-hatred.
Mm-hmm.
That seems, all those words seem to be in the right order.
Right. And again, Dr. Lipschitz saw all this coming. And it was interesting to see Lewis figuring it out, like, as it was playing out, but also handle it. You know, I think he was very responsible in that situation and you know, didn't go too far, didn't break down. So it was, because it was a pretty, like, heartfelt thing. Like, you know, obviously that what the guy was doing was not cool. I mean, he cheated on his partner and
stalked her.
Like, both of these things are very not so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, when he was, like, it was very heartfelt what he was saying. Like, I made a mistake. I had planned all this out, and then I saw my, like, entire life, like, ruined. Like, that would be devastating. So, you know, I think that was an interesting thing for Lewis to hear, because, obviously, Lewis is not perfect. So, you know, I think, you know, it's interesting. Not to say that Lewis would ever do that in a similar way, like, to Tara. Like, I don't think he would ever act that or make a mistake, like, on a personal level.
Yeah.
I don't think Lewis would ever cheat or like.
But really I think that's part of his projection onto Jacob, which was, and he didn't say you cheated on her. He said you loved her. You made a mistake. You made a mistake. She made a choice to leave you, and now you can't let that go.
Right.
So like that's all true of Lewis up until that moment.
Very which true. Was,
you made a mistake. You came on too strong. You did, like, he's admitting, as anyone should.
Yeah, she ended it, and it was, like, he's been trying to do everything.
Yeah, that he's only one step away from stalking her.
Totally.
In his mind, like,
he was. And I think he probably would have gotten there had he not had, like, some type of, like, the support of the people.
Well, also, had he not been a really, really busy lawyer.
Oh, yeah, I know, exactly.
Like, I think that's part of
it. He's got a pretty busy day job that kind of keeps him in the office, for sure. But also, you know, I think Donna's there to talk some sense, and he has some outlets that are you know, he works at, like, you know, a big company. So there's, like, people he can confide in. This guy, Paula's ex, was just, you know, a psychiatrist. And what's, I think, tough about that is often they're running these private practices where literally they're not – they don't work with anyone else. They, like, it's one-on-one with their clients. Or maybe it's, like, sometimes their clients outnumber them. If you're doing, like, a couple, it's, like, you're – so it's I think that's an interesting office dynamic if you're basically essentially working with your partner who's also, like, you're like, both in business and out.
Completely unrelated to Suits.
Totally.
Sitcom for next pilot season. Couples counselors who are also a couple.
Nice.
So you do marriage counseling with a married couple who are both therapists. But go on.
Nice, yeah. No, I mean, I wonder how many of those exist.
Three-camera sitcom.
Yeah.
Kevin James. No, he's got that thing.
Yeah, I mean, again, we're getting completely derailed.
No, that's bringing us back.
Yeah. Well, no, I was going to take us further away really quick. There was that Charlie Sheen show after Not Two and a Half Men. We'll need it after that, but he was he was a psychiatrist and he was seeing one of the other ones. I don't know if they saw any the same patients.
Okay,
but may have
not,
come across.
I did
a
not
similar
watch
scenario.
That show, so I will take your word for it.
Well, yeah. Anyway, back to Suits. It was it was interesting to see. I mean, it was also interesting to see Paula's side being so irrational when she deals with this type of thing every day. Like, she, I mean, not to say, I think they're kind of making a point, like, when it's yourself, it's hard to diagnose. It's really, you know, I think a lot more difficult to see. And that's, like, why people go to therapists and, like, talk it out. Because there's things that are so, when it's so close to you, you don't even see it. Mm. And I think that was the case. Because, obviously, Harvey is not, like, the most emotionally developed person. But for him to kind of be the one talking reason and kind of her out of that situation was it was an interesting dynamic.
It was really interesting, and I feel like this is like the this is one of the few moments they're going to give us before this all blows up.
Yeah,
like there's no way this works. There's no way Harvey Paul ever works. We've been saying it for weeks. Like last week, we were to a point where we were literally like, so not next week, the week after.
Yeah,
no, the week after that. Like when is it going to like? When is this going to blow up? Because it's not good. Also, I've seen a lot of people in the chat mention that Harvey still needs therapy.
Yeah.
And I can agree with
totally
that. I also agree that everyone kind of needs therapy to a certain extent. And
no,
like,
I would agree. I mean, and, like, what's bad about talking about, like, issues you're having?
And, like,
and
it was actually
them. Like, getting help with your problems is a very good thing. Like, there, I don't know why there is a sort of a stigma in our culture, I guess, like, about therapy. Like, I don't think I mean, obviously, it's, like, expensive, so if you have the means, like, why wouldn't you? It's, like, literally talking about your issues, which I think all of us do on some level with our parents or our spouses or our friends.
Or our podcasts.
Yeah, or exactly. Like, just, like, literally getting it out is such a therapeutic thing. I mean, again,
well, we're here.
Same word. But, yeah, I think there Harvey should definitely find another therapist. Clearly, it's working for Lewis. It worked to some extent. He got Harvey this far. He's still got a little ways to go. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Also, one more thing, because I it almost went away. Harvey also needs an assistant, and I'm glad brought that up this episode.
Well, they brought up the
sort of. Donna was like, "Yeah, I'm not your assistant."
They brought up
that
Donna's not his assistant.
Yeah, exactly. We still don't know if he has one at all. He might not.
I'm available.
Just, hey, if we're gonna... I mean, we're hiring people. We've got Cromwell money to throw around.
I know people in Toronto that will let me stay there.
Exactly. If you needed...
While you let me be his on-camera assistant.
I can write checks, no problem.
I'll just... Like, there's literally hundreds of hours of me sitting here being witty. It's about the same.
Yeah, I feel like it's, you know... That role, it's like emotional support, a little bit
emotional
of
support,
banter,
like,
and
just all the things is what things. Harvey's assistant would be.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be a good job.
Nice.
I still stand by that Gretchen's probably doing all the assisting. All
lot of heavy lifting, especially since they've gotten so many more executives. Like, I feel like Donna almost could, I mean, in a real scenario, would have an assistant or something.
Yeah.
You know, Alex is new.
Fawad Dodd in chat says, bring back Amy from season four.
Yeah, I mean, they we need to see some assistants, I feel like. Mike should have an assistant. Or, like,
I feel like, and do you want to just get in the predictions? I think we're ready.
I think so.
We're definitely ready.
Let's do it.
For predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
So, my prediction, I'll just jump out, is that Gretchen, about 2 weeks from now, mm-hmm. has a blow up of like, y'all making me do the secretarial yeah. work for this entire organization.
I would love that. That'd be the best scene ever.
Here's a list of people you should hire. That's my Gretchen. That's
nice.
It's fair. I think that's going to happen. And that's how they're going to tie it up together. That it's at a, they know at a certain point they're going to have a scene where she just says like, listen, we need more assistance.
Yeah, it's interesting because they've been bringing in people, but we've only seen like that top level, and it's like. You can only add top level people for so long until like you need the support staff.
Yeah.
We've seen the associates a little bit, but that's kind of a different route. So I think we need some a little bit like another Gretchen.
And they least. Make it clear that it's Pierce Inspector Lit as an associate. You actually do work,
right?
And like that's been clear in this show since season one. Mm-hmm. That if you were an associate at any other law firm in New York. You would be doing BS stuff. Like, right. you would be doing BS. There, they actually let you be a lawyer.
Right.
Which is something you literally are by the time you're an associate at law school. And it is kind of foolish that they're not. It is kind of foolish yeah. that you don't let your associate, that most law firms don't let their associates do, like, anything.
Yeah.
But.
It's a bit of a grind. Again, no one said being a lawyer was easy.
So.
They do get paid a lot. So there's that.
Does Nathan drop the case because Mike's hands are all over it and he gets caught?
I think it gets too big. It gets too risky on all sides. I think Rachel putting on pressure. I think Harvey's going to find out like next episode. I feel like that, like for Mike to risk his relationship with Harvey, his job, his relationship, his marriage basically with Rachel. And his reputation, like, that's so much on a case that, like, he doesn't have to destroy. Like, there's a difference between not being a part of it and, like not having it happen. Like, you know what I mean?
No, but I understand. The second Oliver comes to him and says that it's a class action now, yes, Oliver shouldn't be coming yeah. to him. Yes, that's... It's not a gray area, like you're clearly breaking the rules. But if you're going to break the rules, you should break the rules in a way that you stop breaking the rules,
right.
but get the optimal outcome. The optimal outcome is you get justice for those people and you stop it from happening for future people.
Right.
Which would mean, people in the chat have brought it up, Zane would take on that case now that it's a hundreds of million dollars class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
He would probably partner with Nathan's firm.
Right.
Like he would probably partner with the Nathan Clinic. There's a certain level of Mike, I want to say Mike's ego, that he feels that he's the only one close enough to this to really get it done,
mm-hmm.
which is really hurting him because he could be handing this off to other lawyers. Katrina would do this.
Yeah.
In this scenario, Katrina could work with Oliver and Nathan and make this entire case, make an entire class action case.
Right. I mean, Katrina's at, I think she's still at Pearson Spectre, isn't she?
Yes, never mind.
But, I mean,
but no one at Peace Inspector, sorry, in my mind, she's still at Zane because we haven't seen her.
And if Mike's, like, really being truthful, like, that it's about these people, then, like, there's plenty of capable people that can, if it gets that level, that class action suit, that can follow through and get, like, maybe not the exact result that Mike would get, but close, like...
But he's
got to be okay with that. He's got to be okay with letting go. Like, he can't be on every case.
And if we're really breaking down the altruistic formula mm-hmm. that he's in, he's won. They're, let's say, 100,000. So, yes, his one is not as valuable as those 100,000. But if his one becomes negative 1.5 because of the risk he brings to that case...
Right.
He's really not doing any service to the greater good.
Yeah. He's actually risking more.
Like, he's doing more. Like, whereas if we're... I'm just going to break it down D&D style, I guess.
Nice.
Whereas if him finding out it's a class action, helping Oliver up top, and then realizing, oh my God, it's a class action. I need to find a lawyer that can handle it. He passes it off to Zane. That's what? Negative 0.5 instead of negative 1.5?
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah,
is what I'm saying.
It's a lot better. Yeah,
it's better. than what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's easier than we're making it, Mike. And I think that's kind of the main thing that's frustrating is that like it's Oliver honestly brought it up this episode. Was like, dude, like you're so good at like finding out other ways. Like he's almost because he's spread so thin. Maybe he's going to like the first thing that comes to his mind and just like let me see if this will work. Let me see if that will, like and just going on that without thinking about the big picture as much. And Oliver was like, dude, like, you don't have to get this guy that's going to, like, who yep. literally tried to kill you. Like, a guy who attempted to murder you. You're about to get him off earlier now because you
I think Gallo's going to make this all worse.
Yeah. It's like, dude, this is disastrous. Like, the last person you should be asking or, like, trying to get a deal with or help is Gallo. Like, the dude was the worst last season. He literally almost killed Mike several times. And so, like, you know, I think he could have Harveyed his situation a little bit better. And granted, like, he just shouldn't have been in it. I'm just very frustrated with Mike getting so sucked down this path. And when all I want is just Mike and Harvey to be, like, kicking ass again. And
Quippy
just, like,
and
crushing
teaming
cases.
Up on some stuff. And, like...
Because, you know, although we lost Jessica, I think with the Harvey as the managing partner and Donna as the CEO, we've kind of had that dynamic back, that, like, Harvey-Jessica thing. It's been a little bit of a reversal, which is cool to see. And so that's, you know, I feel like the most enjoyment has come out of that.
Also, everyone in the chat is literally bringing up, he was quite clear that he's going to kill Mike when he gets out.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
That's...
It was pretty set in stone. It's kind of what the whole last season,
like,
was about.
Yeah, and he, like, did not... He didn't...
Yeah, whole last, like, two seasons, I think.
And, like, in the two scenes we had with him, he never, like, brought that back.
Yeah.
He never said, like, well, okay, I won't kill you now. It's like, no, I'd like a cookie. I'd like you to get me out of prison.
Yeah.
And it's kind of unspoken. Yeah. I'm going to kill you once I'm out of prison. Like, I don't know where anything else came from. Rachel. Now... There's a way to do this, and I'll probably do it the second we get out of here, which is they'll likely start shooting in Toronto either this week or in the next, like, couple weeks. So if Rachel shows up on those shooting dates, it's very likely that she doesn't leave at the end of or she doesn't go on any type of hiatus by the 10th episode of this season.
Yes, I don't
think... So I don't have that information, but given that information, do we think they would have her exit briefly? At the end of episode 10?
I don't know about exit. I mean, I don't think...
Like, sabbatical? Take time off from the show to, like, be royally married?
I mean, I think that's a big possibility, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... it's funny that she's planning
a wedding in a show where
she could be planning, like, an even bigger wedding, like, in real life. So, I mean, that's kind of just a funny scenario. And I hope that's the case. Like, good for her. Like, I think there are ways that they can write it where we don't miss Rachel as much.
Yeah.
But her commitment to the show is reduced. Similar to Jessica, like you said.
I think it would be really funny,
exactly.
TV trope-wise, to have her literally go to Chicago where Jessica is. Like, this is where you go when you don't have time to be here every week.
We'll just package deal from now on.
You go to Chicago.
Yeah.
And you show up sparingly.
Yes, exactly. You're in three episodes, and we're good.
I stand by my prediction, Harvey, Paula, episode 8.
Episode 8. We're on episode 5 right now? So
yeah, 3 weeks from now.
3 weeks. Interesting. Okay.
Maybe 9. I'm sticking with 8.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
I feel like 9, or maybe the finale. That could be finale material, like a big breakup.
Nobody ever says the finale.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a downer. To go out on a breakup, unless there's like a good reason why, like it's a broke up because I need to be with this person. So short of someone new coming in and like sweeping Harvey off his feet, I think you're right. Probably episode 9 is my firm.
I dig that.
Yeah.
Do you have any other predictions at large?
I really want Lewis to meet someone. I think that will be
nice.
I feel like that. that coming into this season late. Obviously, he's been dealing with a lot. I think he's going to get resolution with Tara slowly. And then, like, he's going to meet someone.
I think Tara. I don't think we're ever seeing Tara again.
Yeah, I don't think we are either.
I think he's going to work his stuff out.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. With Dr. Lipschitz, and then he's going to, like, find someone, like, at the end.
I think it's binary. I think it's one or the other. I think he either finds someone and starts leading a healthier, normal, more normal life. Right. Or we stick to my prediction last week, which was we lose Dr. Lipschitz by episode 10.
Oh, yeah.
Sudden death or sudden retirement.
Yeah. I feel like someone's going to die this season. I don't know why I'm saying that, but, like...
I can stick with sudden retirement. Yeah. Like, I don't need Dr. Lipschitz to die.
I hope no one dies. They're all good characters.
But it's definitely a possibility that his life could kind of spiral out of control because he loses his therapist. That strikes me as the kind of character. Maybe it would even be worse that he seems healthy. He finds a woman. He starts moving very slowly, like slowly and normally with her.
Right.
And then he loses Dr. Lipschitz. And then the firm falls apart because the firm's always falling apart.
That's what I mean.
And then his life spirals out of control.
Ooh, yeah. But that's a lot of content.
A woman would up those stakes.
Yes. And I would love to see Lewis get in a new relationship with Dr. Lipschitz so he doesn't make the same mistakes that he always has.
Also, Alex. We still don't trust Alex. We haven't seen him this week.
Yeah, he was in the episode.
He was in Miami. He was dealing with something.
Yeah, he was doing ballers.
He was in the front office of Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, exactly. It's a side thing. It's part time.
I was about to say he's bi-coastal. he's New York and Florida.
No, I think he's gonna come back and really push the stakes with Mike. I think Harvey's gonna kind of have it for a while, and like that's gonna escalate for a couple episodes, and then like the threat of him finding out is what really gives Harvey the authority to be like, dude, if you don't drop this, like I'm gonna have to drop you, and that sort of, like, not necessarily they won't be friends, but like you either choose, you follow through with this and don't work at the firm, or you do, because it's like a conflict now.
I feel like he can't quit the firm and then still break the. Like, I think whatever he signed was legally binding to the point that his hands being on the case at all doesn't matter where he goes.
Yeah.
Because they talked about how Nathan would drop the case. Mm-hmm. I think even him quitting Pearson Spector Lit, he wouldn't be able to touch this case.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Totally.
Well,
hopefully Mike figures something else out. But
I think we've definitely covered all the bases here on the Suits After Show. If the people want to talk to you, where can they find you?
You guys can find me at Hey John Blake.
And you guys can find me on Twitter, as always, at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of shows here on AfterBuzz TV. Tweet about them regularly. Also, go to thesoberyear.com. It's a vlog I'm doing where this is week 8. I'm doing 52 weeks where I'm not having alcohol because it got out of hand. It's in the vlog. It's thesoberyear.com. I'm kind of proud of it. It's a thing I'm doing. Thank you all so much. Subscribe, like, do all the things, and good night.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.